Good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for all coming, and especially thank you to the visitors for coming. Count it a privilege to have you with us. Why don't we start with a word of prayer? Thank you, God in heaven, for giving us your word that we can study and understand what you would have us to do and your plan for us. Thank you for another opportunity to hear from it and guide my words and convict those that need it and bless others by the word as needed. Thank you for all you have done. In Jesus' name, amen. So, did you ever think about how often we go to church? Surely there's nothing new to learn. And especially for me, I feel insignificant in the sense that there's lots of other people that could do a lot better job. And especially after Bible school not too long ago, there's lots of good teaching. What more could there be to say? Well, one thing we know, or I know at least, is that we are forgetful. And so even though I might not have something new to share, we need to continuously be reminded about what the Word has to say. And if we want to be a doer and not only a forgetful hearer, we need to be continuously reminded about what the Word has to say. I have a verse here in Philippians, verse 3. I press towards the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereunto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. I didn't study this verse out in depth, but I'm just going to take it that even though many of us have been a Christian for a long time, and some might be just new, we need to mind the same thing. The same temptations are prone to snare us. The same things that hinder someone from becoming a Christian could be the same things that could take us away from walking with God. And so for a devotional, I'm just going to go through a chapter in Ephesians chapter 2. This is a chapter we had memorized as a church. And as a couple, we have been trying to memorize it again. And so, as I have been often reading over this, I thought there's some good things in here worth bringing out. There's three themes we see going through this chapter. And they continuously repeat themselves. And it might seem like I'm repeating the same things over and over, yet it's kind of like that in this verse. And so it must be important. The first theme we see is who we once were. For example, just take verse 1. It reads, "And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins." Who we were. We were dead in sins. The second theme is Jesus has redeemed us. We see that in verse 1 also. "And you hath he quickened." We are no longer who we once were. And then the third theme is what we should be now, who we are now. We are his workmanship, which we see later on in the chapter. Who we should be today. We are no longer in sin in times past, and we have been redeemed. And now the second theme and the third overlap quite a bit, because even though we are his workmanship, sometimes we still find ourselves needing redemption. And so you can't always split them up into different themes, but they go along together quite well. So I'm just going to go through this chapter, and we're just going to pull out each place, phrase, or sometimes it's verses, where it expounds on what we have been in times past as sinners. So we already saw verse 1. We were dead in trespasses and sins. And then verse 2 and 3 read, wherein in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience. Among whom also we all had our conversation in time past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Let's go to verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. We were dead in sins. Just repeating that again. Verse 11. Wherefore remember that ye being in times past Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by that which is called the circumcision in the flesh made by hands, that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenant of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. Verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who are what we were sometimes afar off. And we'll come back to that later. The rest of that verse, verse 17. He came and preached peace to you who were far off. And then verse 19. We are now therefore ye are no more strangers and foreigners. So we were, if we are no longer than we had been. Now I'm just going to bring some other verses from other books to just talk about this place in life of needing salvation, sinfulness of man's. A verse in Romans. One we are quite familiar with. Romans 3 and verses 22 and 23. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all, and upon all them that believe, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. This is just a realization of our state before Christ, his redemption. In Jeremiah, there's also a verse that talks about the heart being deceitful and wicked. And then in James, in chapter 4, there's a verse talking about wars and strifes and lots of evil things that we can come up with, and it's because our own heart is evil. Our own lust, that war in our members is how it goes. And so now we are going to go back to Ephesians chapter 2, and we're going to go through this again and pull out the verses where it talks about Jesus as our Redeemer. Verse 1. And you hath he quickened, who were dead in trespasses and sins. Quickened just means restored life in this context here. We'll skip down to verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ, and by grace ye are saved. One thing I noticed through this chapter is there's lots you could add to it, I'm sure, but it does such a good job at just, if you read it, you can get it. It's simple. And so just by reading the verses, you can get what it's saying. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. There's a big difference here between verse 1, where we were dead in trespasses and sins, and now Christ is raising us up to sit in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved, through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. 13, but now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. Verse 14, for he is our peace, who hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. So it's the work of Christ. He died on the cross. We're very familiar with what Christ has done for us. By Jesus dying, he's slain the enmity between us and God. And we'll even get and talk a little bit more about this as we come through and catch the third theme. We are his workmanship. What we are today after we have been redeemed. Verse 5. Even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace are ye saved. Now we are quickened. We are restored, our life is restored with Christ. This is our newness of life. Verse 6, and hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places with Christ Jesus. And some of this is just kind of repeating. But we are now in Christ Jesus in heavenly places. You just kind of get a word picture between heavenly places. They're places that are, just put it into your own words. We can have a clear conscience. We're not in the darkness of sin. We're not in the dead, in verse 1 it just says dead in trespasses and sins. Verse 7, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness towards us through Christ Jesus. So now Jesus wants to give us this, he wants to show this exceeding riches, this changed life throughout the ages to come. It never stops. It is no more where we used to be. Verse 8, for by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Okay, and then verse 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Now, after Jesus has redeemed us, we are what Jesus has created us in. We are his workmanship. We are the work of his hands, bringing him glory. He made us to do good works unto him. And then, of course, there's that verse 9 talks about not of works, lest we boast. We'll come back to that later. But then verse 10 says it is still of works, though, because we are his workmanship, and he created us unto good works. And God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. Okay, verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. It's just repeating again. We were far off, but now we are nigh by Christ. Are we experiencing this? The change. Verse 14. Now Christ is our peace, and he hath made both one, and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby. And then verse 18, for through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Jesus changed the way to get to the Father by taking away that block that of separation from our sin. Now we can have full repentance. We can come and repent and then have the grace that we need. And Jesus is the access to the Father. Now, verse 19. Now therefore, ye are no more strangers and foreigners, but we are fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. And going on, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth unto an holy habit, holy temple in the Lord, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. We are God's dwelling place now. We are no more. Just like in verse 1, we start out with where we were and until we get to the end of the chapter. And even as you go through the chapter, it's kind of going back and forth. The end of the chapter finishes with what we are as God's workmanship, and we are that Jesus Christ is the foundation, but we are this building that God lives in. And so for a little challenge that we can take out of this. Maybe almost you could say the fourth theme. Verse 8 talks about not of ourselves. It's specifically put in there, not of ourselves. And I think this is a big temptation, because once we attain the grace of God and we this is part of our lives, it's always so easy to start taking glory for ourselves. If we're prospering, we can see how we have been successful in the Word of God, you could say. And then we start taking glory for ourselves, how we have attained. But this verse is saying, don't get proud, basically what it's saying. For it's the grace of God that we are saved. We must not forget that this is the work of God. And then in verse 9, it I know that is verse 9. 8 says, oh yeah, verse 9 talks about not of works, lest we should boast. And an example I thought of, I'll just read it, is when the publican and the Pharisee came to pray. How the Pharisee was focusing on his good works, and he was forgetting how this is the work of God that we can be redeemed. In Luke 18, starting in verse 10, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus within himself, God, I thank thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, and even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. But the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For every one that exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. So, are we his workmanship this morning? Are we fulfilling? Are we the building where God can live in? Are we showing that to others? And let us always remember that God gets the glory. We never get any of it because it is not the work that we have done. There's one more passage I'm going to turn to in Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live. Yet not I, but Christ liveth in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Let us, as we go from here, be mindful of what God has made us to be, what he wants from us. And that's the challenge is not to fall back into the easy place of trespasses and sins. That's just the tendency we go. But we give God the praise and keep our focus on him. Nevertheless, I live, not I, but Christ liveth in me. God bless.